You're listening to TechNado. Welcome and thanks for joining us for this week's TechNado, sponsored by ACI Learning, the folks behind IT Pro. Just a reminder, you can use that code TechNado30 for a discount on your IT Pro membership if you haven't already. That's what we do in our day jobs, and we have a great time doing it. Well, I don't speak for you. I have a great time. Daniel, I don't know how you feel about that.
We have a lot of fun, actually, because typically when we're making training content for ACI, it's I'm hacking things.
Yes.
I'm showing you how to hack things. Yes.
It's fun for him to do.
That is fun.
For me to watch.
I'm not going to lie. That is fun.
When it works.
And then they make me talk about compliance and crap like that.
GRC?
Yeah. Sorry, Jerry. If Jerry Osier, if you're watching, sorry.
He's making GRC fun again. We don't have to worry about it.
He's making it socially acceptable.
Socially acceptable. There you go. I can never remember. Yeah. It's too many big words.
Shout out to Simply Cyber.
For this early in the morning. I can't do it. Well, here in TechNado, we've got a couple things we want to get into before we jump into our articles for this week. As you know, we've kind of been changing up the segments over the last few weeks, trying some new stuff. We'd love to hear what you think and what you'd like to see more of in the future. But this has become a favorite segment of mine. It's breaking news.
Breaking news!
No, wait, are you gonna do
the
that every
time?
The
first time I did it,
it was perfect.
Perfect.
You can't
recreate
it.
I could not have planned for it any better than that.
You can't recreate that.
Yeah.
You just can't. It's like the one perfect dope that I get off every like 6 months. I can't recreate it. Well, a couple things that came up we were just looking at this morning. Some breaking news stuff. NVIDIA has pushed out Apple and Microsoft to become the world's most valuable company. Only a difference of like 0.3 million or trillion dollars. Not that big of a deal.
Who's in second place? Who's taking silver?
Looks like
Apple?
Currently NVIDIA is valued at 3.34 trillion. And then Apple is at 3.29 and Microsoft is at 3.31.
That's They've insane been, that they're trillion dollar companies.
Yeah. But Apple and Microsoft have switched, you know, back and forth historically.
It bounces around, right?
And now NVIDIA's kind of been a dark horse and come up. And this article
those says, RTX boards, man. Yeah.
this article says you can blame the AI boom for NVIDIA having risen.
That makes
so
sense.
Far. So,
I mean, I think that's probably a legitimate argument for why they've jumped up so high, and why we see Microsoft trying to jump on the bandwagon. We see Apple trying to jump on the bandwagon of all the AI stuff incorporated into their organization, or not just organizations, but their platforms as well. So, they want the. Here's the thing, kids. If you think that Microsoft and Apple and NVIDIA are in business because they just like watching people smile when they use their products, you are sorely mistaken.
No. If that was the case, Apple would let iPhone 15 users access the app. We talked about the WWDC stuff last week.
I dropped a quarter.
I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, your healthy skepticism, right?
Yeah.
Well, there could be some security issues and whatever, but it does look neat. And, you know, my optimism says this looks cool. I'm looking more at it in detail this week. It says, by the way, if you don't have an iPhone 15 Pro or later, not for you. If you have an iPad or a Mac with an M1 chip, you'll still be able to access these Apple Intelligence features. iPhone 15 users, we can kick rocks. I'm like, this phone is less than a year old and already you're telling me, oh, it's outdated. Can't use those features anymore.
Isn't that kind of like Apple's MO though?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they do? They're like, oh, did you just buy the new iPhone in space gray? But did you get it in midnight blue?
Sucks to be you.
You can only get it now. You have to go turn in that phone you just bought 3 months ago.
Yeah. And rookie mistake.
And guess what? Apple users, people that are like marked out hard for Apple, they do it.
Mm-hmm.
They go, oh, well, piss on the whole wide world. I got to go get me that new rose gold, whatever the hell. I think the first time I remember seeing it was iPhones and they used to be, all iPhones back in the day, this was like iPhone 3 or 4. They only came out with like a chrome looking back and then they came out in white, that Apple white. People were burning their
dipping into their savings,
throwing it in the toilet. Oh, I dropped it. I gotta go get the white one now. Because oh my goodness.
Yeah, you're right. It's definitely people will upgrade. People will buy.
Now, do we blame Apple for that, or do we blame the people that will buy it?
Yeah, I guess it is kind of a self fulfilling thing.
Right.
Like they'll keep doing
it fault here?
Because people will. They know people will buy it. So. Yeah. I'm not going to upgrade just for the Apple Intelligence.
FOMO.
That to me, it's something to do with the chip. Like
no
this
FOMO
has.
For you?
Well, I'm going to still be a little irritated,
yeah.
But because it's for stupid reasons. I wanted to use the Genmoji stuff
and
make
funny
fun
is
little emojis.
I have AI built into my phone already. I didn't have to wait
Here
for
we go. Here we go. I talked about this earlier this week, and you and Wes both were like, yeah, well, my Galaxy. I'm like, I know. But this is the phone I have. I'm happy with it. I'm just a little salty.
It doesn't sound like you're happy with it. It sounds like you're a little pissed off.
Maybe a little.
Okay.
I'm also...
At least you can admit.
I'm hangry also, so I'm a little crabby.
Yeah. I'll get you every time.
To your point, no, I don't think Apple exists to put a smile on people's faces. No, I don't think that's their what they wake up in the morning thinking they want to do every day. I think
they want to see those profits.
Yeah. It's the money. Money talks. But that was something that that came up. NVIDIA now is the highest value, the most valuable public company in the world. So congrats.
Should have invested.
Should have
some stock.
Should have invested all those years ago.
That's right. When I had a chance. But
all right. Dana Carvey over there.
Yeah.
But a couple other things that happened this week. I don't know if we have any gamers out there, any casual gamers. I'm a casual gamer.
What's a game?
What's a game?
Could you define this concept of gamay?
So it's usually a meat like deer wild turkey, that kind of stuff.
For sport or food.
Hunted for sport, yes. Yes, primarily for entertainment.
Gotcha.
So Nintendo Direct was yesterday, or I guess as of the releasing of this episode, it was a couple days ago, earlier this week. So a couple of the big things, there were some games that came up that like there's a new game that's Hobbit themed where you can like be... You could be in the Shire and, like, just live your life in the Shire.
What the hell kind of games are we making?
It was interesting. Like, it looks cute, but I was like, who's asking for that?
Everybody wants these simulated life stuff often. Yeah. Like, I don't give a crap about being a phone. I don't get it.
So there were some like that where it was like, okay, interesting like, choice,
there's
but
no,
all right.
Like, there's no objective to the game other than just live, right?
And be
in the world.
I guess, yeah, we won't. There's always, like, little missions and stuff that you can do in those kind
okay,
of games.
But
I
that's
don't,
not the main
There's no, like,
purpose.
Defeat this villain, I don't right. think. I don't think. I think it's more of, like, a cozy game. I think. That's the impression that I got.
Weird.
Let us know what you think. That's but there were weird. Some games like that where it's like, okay, I don't know who's asking for that, but okay, cool. But the big ones, the heavy hitters were definitely, there's a new Mario and Luigi RPG. It's going to be coming out called Brothership. That should
that
be pretty
cool.
fun. I played Bowser's Inside Story a little bit when it came out, and I enjoyed
that.
It was fun. I had a good time. It was my first time playing an RPG at that point, because
really?
I was pretty young when that came out. I was probably in elementary or middle school.
So I used to be a beat-em-up, right?
Yeah.
Only beat-em-ups. That's all I cared about. And my friend Mike was like, dude, you got to start playing RPGs. I go, why? It's a lot of reading and it's boring. He's like, no, trust me. And I think probably the first one he got me hooked in I played some, I played Zelda and things of that nature, but I think Willow for NES was the first one that made me go, okay, you got something here. This ain't so bad. Right?
I can be convinced.
Right. Yeah. It's like playing a story.
Yeah.
Right.
And
that's what I didn't realize what RPGs were. I just thought they were kind of slow and mundane. But once you get kind of hooked into the story, which usually does take a hot minute, so I can understand why 10-year-old me is having a hard time wanting to go down the RPG world. But as soon as you get past that first initial kind of meeting the characters and establishing what's going on, then you get into the gameplay, and it's super duper fun.
Yeah.
And then you get like, right now, I'm playing Baldur's Gate, old Baldur's Gate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got it on GBA.
Really?
Yeah, I'm playing it in GBA, and it's not that bad. It's a little janky.
Sure. Well, of course,
I think the first time I played Baldur's Gate was on Xbox, first Xbox, which was great. I loved that game. So to find that I had it on GBA was a nice...
Warmed your heart.
It did.
Warmed your cold, dead heart. Well, in addition to that Mario RPG, there's also a new Mario Party that's going to come out. So that's always a fun relationship-ruining game. And then there's also going to be a new Legend of Zelda title similar to the style of the game Link's Awakening. So it's a little bit more like... it's cute. It's a little more like cartoony.
Yep.
But it's Zelda is the protagonist. You play as Zelda, and you got to save Link. He's gone missing. So I thought that was pretty neat. I think there was also some new Ace Attorney stuff, some previous levels that were only available.
Ace Attorney?
Yeah, Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. Oh, those games are so fun. Dude, you're like a lawyer. You're like a defense attorney.
Okay.
And you get all these cases. Dude, I love those games. I got like the trilogy on my Switch.
I'm intrigued. I'll have to look into this.
It's fun.
You said Ace. I'm thinking Ace Combat.
No, totally different.
Which
totally
was the Jets and stuff like that. That was a lot of fun, though. Those games were very entertaining.
It's very like you gotta like gather evidence and stuff and build a case. It doesn't sound like it'd be fun, but it's fun. Yeah. So there's previous levels that were only released in Japan that are now gonna be coming to the Switch. So Ace Attorney fans are excited. I'm excited.
Okay.
But the big one, I think, the really big one that came at the end was new Metroid game. Metroid Prime 4 Beyond something, I think. But it's been talked about for years, and it's just now we have it's gonna come out next year.
Is it a platform or is it a first person?
First person.
Okay.
It looked like from the gameplay, it's like a first-person shooter type thing.
Metroid game that was on 3DS, forget the actual name of it, that was a great game.
Yeah?
That was a lot of fun. It's a platformer. Man, that sucker will take away hours of your life.
Samus Returns?
Samus Returns. Thank you. Excellent. Excellent Metroid game.
All right. Positive review from Daniel for that Metroid game. So if you are a Nintendo fan, if you're excited about the no announcement for the Switch 2, the mysterious successor to the Switch. Yeah. And they said ahead of time, they were like, we're not talking about that during this Direct. So don't get excited about it. And sure enough, they stayed true to their word. So a lot of fun stuff that got announced. There was a bunch of other games and re-releases and remasters and things, but those were the big ones. So And then lastly, for our breaking news, this isn't really tech related, but I just thought I'd mention it. Apparently, a Spaceballs sequel is in the works, and I know that's something it's a fan favorite in the office, so just figured I would mention it. Hey,
Have you seen Spaceballs?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, you have to put that on your list.
I know it's like a Star Wars kind of parody.
It's
like
a Star
that.
Wars parody, yeah. Right. It's a Mel Brooks film, if you're not familiar with Mel Brooks. He was the king of comedy and parody movies and that kind of stuff in the 80s. Haunted Honeymoon was a good one. I really enjoyed that one. Robin Hood, Men in Tights. That was a Mel Brooks laughed my butt off.
Okay.
Watching that one. It's very blue comedy, so be prepared for that.
Sure.
But yeah, good stuff.
All right.
Stamp of approval.
Oh. So if you're a Spaceballs fan.
And I worked with Michael Winslow.
Yeah.
He was
that's
in
right.
Spaceballs. I did some acting with Michael Winslow. Believe
and,
it or not.
Yeah. Michael Winslow is now a fan of Daniel.
Here's a fun fact. I'm not an actor at all.
No.
I know. Hard to believe. But it's true. I've never taken an acting lesson in my life, nor have I played an actor on TV.
No, it's not a bad thing. If anything, it's a compliment. It just means you're a really bad liar. If you can't
that's
act,
true.
You're a really bad liar, and that's not a bad trait to have.
No,
smacking the microphone.
I'm not a big, huge fan of lying.
No, I think most people aren't.
Trying to get you to stop.
Yeah. Pathological.
she's just like, yep. My name's George Orwell. What? I invented the question mark. Stop saying things that are patently false.
Well, that's what we've got for our breaking news this morning. And we've got several other articles that we're going to try to jump through here. This first one, I'm going to turn this over to Daniel. New Wi-Fi takeover attack. All Windows users warned to update now. Now, this seems pretty urgent. Daniel, maybe you can enlighten me on why this is so urgent.
So I'm gonna kind of give you the quick and dirty.
Sure.
Right? Because this is a Microsoft flaw. Problem with Microsoft and remote code execution. Oof. We don't like those things. And that's basically all we get. Patch now. Because here's the thing about Microsoft. They're kind of like, you ever see the movie Fight Club?
Yeah.
Do you remember the rules of Fight Club?
You don't talk about Fight Club.
And rule number two?
You don't talk about Fight Club.
Microsoft is, there is no problem here.
Yeah.
Just update and patch.
Pay no mind.
We don't really talk about, we don't call them problems. We don't say there's security flaws.
It's not a bug, it's a feature.
Situation, maybe that's amusable. That's nicer. We like that better. They don't really like talking about, so there's no real details here other than you have to be within proximity, obviously, of the device to get the Wi-Fi signal, but through the Wi-Fi driver, if I'm not mistaken, there's a flaw in the driver that can allow for remote code execution. There's a patch available. Here's fun. This is some information they did release. It affects all currently supported Windows systems.
Oh, okay.
Which just tells me they're using the same Wi-Fi driver.
Give me a second.
In all of their devices.
Let me just check, if I need updates to my machine.
Yeah, you should check that. If you haven't updated in a hot minute, I mean, did you really have updates ready?
No. Last check today at 8:28,
okay,
I am up to date.
You're good to go. Yeah, because Windows by default is pretty good. Like, especially if you're just in a standalone system, that those things just get pushed and you just get updates.
Well, since this is a work device, and I think they have rules in place.
We're controlling that for you.
It's very automatic. You say you go in and you configure my updates for me. It'll pop up and be like,
that's exactly right.
You specifically?
Not me specifically. The royal we.
Right. Sure, yeah. I know what you mean. So, I don't have to worry about it as much on this machine, but sounds like if you don't have automatic updates set up or a company controlling that for you, you might want to go in and...
Yeah, you want to get on that. Again, well, if someone would have to be attacking you specifically.
Sure.
That's why I think the CVSS score is not as high as you would think it would be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be an 8-something.
It's 8.8, I think.
8.8, yeah, there you go. So, that's because I would have to go, I'm gonna get you. It's going to be fun. And you'd have to have the know-how around this flaw specifically,
right,
which Microsoft is not releasing.
Yeah.
So there's that. Now, what will happen is people will reverse engineer the patch that comes out to try to find where the flaw is.
Right.
And so they can release proof of concept code. And eventually we'll probably see that happen. But as of right now, it's under lock and key. Just get your patch and patch it so that the people that don't have this flaw, or maybe there's some, you know, threat actors out there that have this 0 day in their belt. Now it's not.
Okay.
So it's possible.
Like you said, maybe if we get more information about it, it'll pop up in a Deja News segment. You just never know. I can say that about any of these stories. There's always some stuff that comes out later that you just never know. So this next one, I'm curious to know your opinion on this one. A lot of people on, not Twitter, it's X now, are up in arms about this and are very excited about this. So feds are suing Adobe and their executives for stinging subscribers with hidden cancellation fees. And everybody on X is like, get them. Because they're pissed at Adobe for this. So the story here is that supposedly you sign up for an annual paid monthly plan. So it is one lump sum and you're paying it by the month.
So like it's not a lump sum.
Not a lump sum. It's one amount,
I
guess.
It is a contract.
That's what I'm saying.
To have a subscription with Adobe for a year.
Right.
You are agreeing to a year's worth of service and that you pay that
right
month.
You're not paying it all up front, I guess.
You do not pay it all up
front. It is a set amount when
you
sign up.
Annual monthly payment.
But you're, so you're agreeing to a year-long commitment. And if you break that commitment, if you decide you don't want this subscription anymore, there is a hefty early termination fee that can amount to hundreds of dollars. The issue here, I guess, is that it was apparently pretty well hidden. It was not very out in the open. When you sign like an agreement or whatever, when you agree to terms of service, ELA, all that kind of stuff.
You mean the thing everybody just clicks next
right.
to?
Right. Nobody,
yeah.
no,
yeah.
most no,
I,
people.
I hear you.
A lot of people don't really, you know, it's okay, yes, I agree. And usually you're fine and it doesn't come back to bite you. But in this case, it sounds like some people were surprised by this fee. What this reminded me of a little bit is like, I currently am a renter, right? Of course I am. Look
sure
at me.
You are.
Look at me and my age. Of course I'm a renter, right? You think I own anything? No. So
you're sick of your roommates leaving stuff around?
No, it's great. You don't have roommates now
because you have a job.
It's a beautiful thing.
Right? Like a real job.
Oh, yes. Right. Yes, an adult, a big girl job.
Yeah,
I've got an adult job.
I kid the people out there. But if you're 45, right?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
But I'm renting because, you know, it's what I need to do right now at this point in my life. So
I say that. I rented up until 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Everybody's different. And right now it's so
I'm
hard.
I'm kidding everyone.
It's so hard right now to own a house.
Oh,
like,
bro,
it's just...
I bought at the right time.
Yeah.
It was right before all this craziness went down.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, wow. Because and I have friends that are like, well, we want to buy, but the interest rates are crazy. So, and then renting, I mean, they're building new apartments near where I live. Single room apartment. Or not like a studio, but like a single bedroom, right? $1,600.
Jeez.
$1,600.
Yeah.
Right?
Sounds about, yeah,
you
on
want,
par
you
with
want
what's...
a three bedroom, it's like $2,100.
Yeah.
$2,100, bro. Mm-hmm. My mortgage payment don't even come near that. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I bought at the right time. Got a little lucked out because it was like right before.
I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you. And I'll go home and cry about my own.
You should.
State of being later. But that's kind of what this reminds me of is how when I sign, at least in my college apartment, when I signed that contract, it said in the contract, this is the amount you're agreeing to pay us.
Yeah.
And we are dividing it up for you into monthly payments. You'll be billed every however many days and you'll pay it in 12 payments over the course of a year. If you break your contract, you had to, like, if you said you wanted to move out, you were still obligated to pay, unless you could prove they broke the terms of the lease or something, you were still obligated to pay them, even if, you know, oh, well, I'm not living there anymore, and da-da-da-da, doesn't matter. You agreed to pay this amount in 12, it doesn't matter if you moved out early. So that's kind of what this reminds me of, like, well, you agreed to pay us for 12 months of this service, it doesn't matter if you want out early, this is what you agreed to. So, like, when you break a lease, there's usually some kind of a, you gotta, you know, you don't get your deposit back, or you gotta pay a fee or something, there's usually some monetary, like, not punishment, but fine or something.
Yeah.
When you break your lease early without cause.
Penalty.
Penalty. Yeah. That's what I was looking for. So if you don't have a legitimate cause, like it was unlivable or my landlord broke the lease, you have to pay
some
kind of a.
Yeah. You just want to not do it anymore. Yeah. Like, I don't like this. I'm going to do something. Or I'm moving.
Right. For whatever reason.
We keep talking about like renting and stuff like that. Let's talk about the subscription service that is Adobe.
I'm just saying that's
and their stuff. Yes. I know you're making the analogy, but
that concept is not like foreign to me, but I'm just. To amount to hundreds of dollars, how much is the plan in the first place?
It's probably between $10 and $15 a month.
So then to be like, you got to pay us hundreds of dollars.
So you're talking about $100 to $150 for a yearly subscription, right? Depending on, might be $20 a month, so maybe up to two. Let's shoot for the moon and say it was a $300
If you are...
For what plan?
Because they have multiple plans. For the all apps. The Creative Cloud all apps.
All right. So this is the one we're specifically talking about.
It's 60 a month for Creative Cloud all apps.
That's expensive. It's, but that gives you... It gives you access to all their apps.
Everything, right.
So Photoshop, Lightroom, so on and so forth. Premiere, you name it, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's $600.
Right. More than that, but yeah, yeah, roundabout.
So let's get to the crux of the issue, because we could talk about their plans and their pricing and all that shit really for forever. The problem is, I think what the government is trying to bring them under legal scrutiny over is to say that the way... that you gave that information to the end user is kind of obfuscated. It wasn't obvious.
Right.
It was buried in a bunch of legalese that, let's be honest, nobody reads.
Mm-hmm.
While it is there and you do agree to it, their argument, it seems to be, is that they're saying that these kind of things should be much more obvious, and I believe they made a law that says that they need to be.
Yes.
And you violated said law, which is what their problem is. Adobe has come back. They clapped back and said, well, hold up. That's not true. Our legal department says that everything that we've done is on the up and up, and we comply with all these laws, and we're going to easily be able to demonstrate that in court. So bring it on, big boy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it could be that. It could be, what is it, the FTC?
It's the FTC.
Yeah, FTC's yeah. going after them.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is where a judge gets involved and has to make fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got an apt name there. The judge goes, well, let's see your case and let's hear your argument. And they go back and forth to argue the minutiae of who's right and who's wrong. The judge is ultimately going to make a decision on whether they think that Adobe is right and FTC can go pound sand or vice versa.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that Adobe's probably going to win this.
You think
that's
so?
That's a hot take.
Hmm.
Yeah. And because, right, they're not in the business of losing money and paying out settlements.
That is true.
Right?
That is
so
true.
So before they put that, they probably ran right up to the line of, if we do it any worse than this, then yes, we'll be in violation of this law. But we should be
clear
here. We know
this is where.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of law comes into the idea of where it has to be interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
It was, hence the idea of a judge. A judge will have to interpret that law
sure.
and make a ruling based off of his interpretation or her interpretation of said law, right? So the Adobe lawyers probably went, okay, we should be good because it can be interpreted in a way that we are not violating this law. Somebody could interpret it the other way as well, but we're willing to throw that dice and take that chance and take that gamble. That we'll win that in court because it can be.
Sure, we can argue this is our interpretation.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a fair guess.
Yeah.
I think it's not unlikely. It's not impossible right. that Adobe will win this because you're not talking about like a mom and pop. This is a huge company. Yeah. So
and maybe that judge finds a giant stack of money on his porch one day. and a free Adobe.
Yeah, free Creative Cloud.
Yeah. The pass all, whatever the hell it's called?
Creative Cloud, yeah. All Access,
all
whatever.
Access,
yeah.
That's it. Yeah. The All Access pass.
A judge is suddenly going to become very gifted in Photoshop.
Weird, yeah.
He's going to be like, no.
He's going to go play a hand of like poker in a casino somewhere, and a representative of Adobe will happen to be there.
Yeah.
And lose horribly.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I shouldn't have put this $200,000.
This is going to be like the next James Bond
against
movie.
Just you, Judge. Man, bummer.
Well,
see you next time.
But yeah, the argument is that FTC says you were not clear enough. You're taking advantage of inaction by consumers. Negative option features is the term, and saying that you didn't adequately disclose these terms and these fees to your users. Adobe is saying, bet. We think we did. So let's go. Let's argue this. So we'll have to see what comes of this and whether Adobe comes out on top or whether the FTC takes the W on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it'll be ongoing for a while. I'm sure we won't see a conclusion for this for a while. But up next, we've got some news from CISA conducts first AI cyber incident response exercise. Now, when I was reading about this, it described it as like a tabletop exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe I'm just not well-versed in the terms.
Sure.
An AI response, how do you conduct a tabletop exercise that has to do with this?
So let's start with tabletop for those of you that might be as uninitiated. That's totally fine. We're all born noobs, right?
True.
And no hate here. Got to start somewhere. So tabletop exercises to go, let's create a scenario and let's run through it like it was real. What would we do? How would we respond? And then so it's kind of A, look at your playbook and see if it's still relevant. Do you need to add any kind of procedure or tools or people or whatever so that if this is something that we feel will be, or that through our, you know, statistical analysis deemed to be risk happening, like this might actually happen to us, at a high risk of happening, then we need to figure out, I don't want it to be, I don't want to be the first time that we thought about this to be when it happens, right? So that's the idea behind a table talk. Tabletop is to kind of model this out. See, what would we do? How would you respond, Bob?
Right.
How about you, Jill? You're in your area. How would you work with this problem?
Right. You have a plan then for if this does happen.
All right. And then from that, you all kind of work through your ideas and you develop a playbook. And in that playbook is, if this specific incident occurs, you pull the playbook off the shelf, you look to that incident, and you follow the playbook. Right? That's what it's all about. So CISA, they were like, hey, AI is becoming kind of a thing. I feel like it's here to stay. So let's start tabletopping incidents that involve AI, because AI is being incorporated into many different systems, including governments. So what are the dangers and what are the possible attack avenues? What are the possible fallout for that? What kind of sensitive information could be available to attackers if they were able to gain access to the AI and get it to start revealing things to them? What are the ways in which they could get it to reveal things to them, and how can we build better defenses so that it won't build, you know, you get the idea. Mm-hmm. So the fact that this is just the first time, and I'm sure it's the first of many, that governments are taking a look at this. Obviously, corporations are also going to follow suit if they're not doing it already. Maybe the government, I found the government to be a little behind the times with things usually. Yeah. Where like enterprise and corporations tend to go, we need to do that.
Yeah.
Do that first. Right. And the government goes, what y'all doing? What's that over there? Oh, that's nice. That AI? That AI can do that? Oh, hell. We should probably get on that. They're like, yeah, you should probably do that.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was an interesting article as far as we're seeing this. I love how it says the exercise focuses on incidents that actually or imminently jeopardize the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of the AI system or other system, any other system enabled and or created by the AI system, or information stored on any of these systems where the incident is significant enough to cause disruption to the system's behavior and requires intervention.
Hmm.
So that is the meat and potatoes of this article of, hey, your AI system's out there, you're probably feeding it a lot of sensitive information so that it can do whatever to try to figure out problems for you and give you solutions. You need to be aware of that and start building cyber defenses around it.
Yeah, we love to see it.
Yeah.
We love to see a little bit of preparation ahead of this. You know, get ahead of the issue, be proactive, not reactive.
Yep.
It is interesting what you say about like how the, you know, government agencies seem to be a little behind technologically, behind like private.
Not always, but.
But
it's weird in the ways that they're like, oh, let's continue to run Internet Explorer.
Right.
Why? Well, because that's the one we vetted.
That to me is, it's interesting that does seem to be the case a lot of the time, because tinfoil hat moment here. They say that, you know, like military technology and stuff is like years and years ahead of what we are using now. If we knew the technology that was going on behind the scenes, we wouldn't be able to handle it. It would be like, what? There's no way that's possible. So it's interesting if that's true. It's interesting to think that that could be the case, but then you've got these, you know, public-facing like government institutions.
I mean, there's obviously complexities around that that are
sure, not
obvious, like the fact that defense companies are basically an arm of the government, right? Where all their contracts are with the government, so everything is very closed.
Right.
They don't have to vet anything. Mm-hmm. It's already built with inside of those specifications,
right,
for security and safety and all that other stuff. So. Yeah, go build me some bombs, Raytheon. Go build me war-fighting things, Northrop Grumman. But Microsoft is on the outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to use their product in the military, the government, it has to go through a screening process to make sure that it falls in line with the security and safety standards that we have developed.
Sure.
So that's where it's like, okay, well, if I build a B-2 bomber, that is easy. I can build it and I can ship them. Go.
Yeah.
Easy. Whereas I'm a little behind the times on our version of Windows because we have to vet the next version.
A little bit of a disconnect there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just thought it was, you know, a little
but it is funny.
Little conspiracy tinfoil hat moment there. You know, we don't see enough tinfoil hat on the show.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to bring that back. Before we go to break, try to bring that back. I like those segments. They're fun. But a couple quick segments or a couple quick articles before we go to break. This is another favorite segment of mine, Behind Bars.
Break the law and you'll go to jail.
You can't win them all, but it's true. Break the law and you will go to jail.
I watched Cops last night. It was entertaining.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
It was an old one, too. They were doing like vice drug busts where they had a guy who was a quote-unquote drug dealer selling crack, and people were just pulling up. And the diversity of life that came through to get their crack fix was an interesting menagerie of different people and walks of life.
Watching Cops.
Crack was a real bad thing. It still is, obviously.
Was it? Yeah. Back in the days of crack. It's a really bad thing.
But crack is looking at fentanyl going, dang.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right?
Yeah. Compared to what we have now.
Yeah.
So we got a couple stories here. Just some instances of either folks being arrested, folks pleading guilty to things. This first one, the scattered spider boss was cuffed in Spain, boarding a flight to Italy. He's a British man. He was in Spain and he was going to Italy. So he's a multinational guy. He's only 22, which is crazy for me to think about because he's younger than me.
He's continental.
He's cultured. He's a cultured young man. But he was arrested by Spanish police, found to be in control of more than $27 million in Bitcoin. And they're saying, we think this is he's the alleged ringleader.
And where's he buying stuff with Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Only dark web markets, right?
And yeah, like probably.
Weird places. Like, I don't know any place that takes Bitcoin like normally.
Mm-mm. No.
Chipotle, he's got burritos. We're hearing from Christian, our producer.
Yeah, the voice in the sky.
The voice in the sky. He's telling us. Yeah, he's an ex-Bitcoin
guy.
That's
right, because, he was on like a crypto show for a while.
Yeah, he's a crypto podcast.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe you don't want us to talk about that, but for a while. Yeah. He's got some knowledge in that area.
I think it's nice to have his expertise just over my shoulder.
Yeah.
So that one, because I don't play with crypto at all. Like, I need to get into crypto with something safe like Dogecoin, you know?
Yeah.
Just something easy, just so that I can get some tangible hands-on experience to understand, build a wallet, work with an exchange, and see all...
Get a working understanding.
Just get that system underneath my skill set.
Something low risk, low reward.
Yeah. There's no big incentive for me to do it. And I have so many other things on my plate that...
It's not the priority for you right now.
It's just interesting.
Maybe when you retire.
Don's got one Bitcoin...
That's right. I forgot about that. And that's funny because he hates crypto, doesn't he?
So he said he mined it when Bitcoin first came out. He mined it and was like, okay, I did that. And then
check it off the list.
He forgot the password to the wallet. So it's just sitting on a thumb drive, sitting on his desk. He has no idea how to
Wow.
I'm sure we could probably get it if we got to someone like Joe Grand.
Sure.
So, you know, maybe.
Because
I've seen Joe Grand actually get into Bitcoin wallets before. Check out Joe Grand's YouTube channel. Super cool. The hardware hacker from Loft Heavy Industries, old school OG hacker, man. That dude's got skills.
I guess if you paid somebody like that, or if you had them, you know, hey, can you break into my wallet? The agreement would just be you get a cut of it.
He did break into it. He took a cut.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think he got like $3 million out of that. Like the Bitcoin in the wallet was like $3 million worth.
Wow.
And then he got a cut of getting it open.
That's not bad at all. Even just a tiny percentage of that, that's a lot of money. Maybe we can hook him up with Don and see if they can figure out an agreement. Yeah. But yeah, in this case, I mean, he's what, $27 million Bitcoin fortune? That would buy you quite a few burritos at Chipotle. So sure, probably he was spending it in a little
You'll
bit
never
of,
get them.
A little bit of,
right?
Yeah.
It's 2 hour wait time for a flipping burrito
at Chipotle.
And there'll
be three grains of rice and one piece of chicken
in it. Bro, don't even get me started. Listen, they have shit the bed with me one too many times. I love Chipotle. It's so delicious. But... The inconsistency, all right, here I am, like, bad-mouthing Chipotle. I love them, and I hate them at the same time. I watched Roddy. Me and Roddy were, like, I think we were in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yeah.
We go to, it's across the street from our hotel. Like, let's go get some Chipotle. Ronnie gets this burrito the size of, like, Sasquatch's foot. I couldn't believe the monster. Then I get like a taquito from the gas station, $16.
Inconsistent.
I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm twice Ronnie's size. Not that he couldn't eat it. You know, he's happy to tear it down. But
Sure. But you're right.
I walked away unsatisfied from my last, and that was the last straw. I said, never again. Never again, Chipotle. You've lost a customer.
There's a movement going on right now. People like pulling out their phones to record when they're making their burritos because they know that the employees will put more in if they think they're being recorded. The CEO of Chipotle or whatever released a statement like, stop doing that. We give you enough in your burritos. Stop complaining. Please stop recording my employees. Like, released a video statement about it and whatever. So it's a big thing right now. It's a big deal. So I don't know. Maybe that's where this guy was going. He was leaving Spain because they didn't have burritos like Chipotle.
The Chipotle there was just subpar.
It was just so bad. But anyway, so he's accused of more than 45 cyber attacks against U.S. companies.
We really took that for a ride, didn't we?
We did. But that's the fun part of it. Those are always the fun conversations.
Listen, we have no constraints on the tech. No, we do whatever the heck we feel like doing.
No rules.
That's right. We make the rules.
So it seems that he'll be possibly behind bars soon. He's been arrested. So the bad thing, I guess, about these organized crime situations, these cybercrime situations, is that it's not just one guy, right? It's more than one person. And so...
Oh, this is the dude that hacked the casinos in
MGM.
Vegas. Yeah.
It's the same organization, Scattered Spider.
Rot in jail.
Rot in jail. His name's... Tyler's the name they're calling him because his screen name, I think, is Tyler B., Tylerb. That's what I'm choosing to call him, Tylerb.
Tyler Burden.
Tylerb.
Instead of Tyler Durden.
Oh. Ah, okay. You see, so much just goes over my head. So the
you
other
said you saw Fight Club. How do you not get that?
I did, but I just, not a long time. I think I watched it and I like fell asleep. That's not a testament to the movie.
Wow.
That's not about the quality of the movie. I just was very tired at the time. I wasn't
likely excuse.
I wasn't committed enough to watching it, so I need to rewatch it. But that's not the only behind bars story we've got.
No, it's not.
Next one. Two men were charged for breaching federal law enforcement database and posing as police officers to defraud social media companies. That is a wild ride of a headline here.
Tell them, what's the name of their hacking group?
Of this hacking
group
here?
Do you remember? Did you read that part? It's called, aptly, Vile. They are the Vile.
That's kind of funny. I mean,
threat group or whatever you want to call them, cybercrime gang.
Does it stand for something?
Yeah, asshole.
No way. I'm looking at the site's official roster. We probably shouldn't show it, but it's like a person that's just committed suicide.
Their official logo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
that's
and it's
crazy.
Yeah. It's like a. These people, I have zero sympathy.
Rotten jail.
Rotten jail. I hope they build a new jail just for you.
Wow. That's crazy. So, okay. Their whole deal is that they gather information, phone numbers, physical addresses, social security numbers, and then threaten individuals to dox you. So, you know the whole thing that's going on right now where like kids are getting like extorted and stuff?
Yep.
It's that kind of deal?
I don't know if it's to that level. I don't think it is. I haven't seen any of that. So, I won't say that that's where they're at, because I read this whole article.
There's nothing in there about that specifically. That's a different case.
They were mostly kind of just like, I mean, they were going after people, but they were also going after like government officials in different countries and basically saying, I think they were going after high profile individuals, somebody that they thought would have some money, and they would extort them saying, we are going to release your private information to the public if you don't pay us some money. We're going to dox you. So, you just think, okay, yeah, that's run-of-the-mill cybercrime stuff.
Sure, but
what they did was is they were able to, either through whatever mechanism, they didn't go into detail on how they got a password to a police officer's login to all the federal databases that they have access to. But once they were able to log in to those systems, they were like, they were just like, so much stuff. I can hack anybody now. We can dox anybody because we have access to everyone everywhere. And wow, it was just the last names are Singh and Saralo. Aptly belong to a group called Vile. They conduct ends that conduct ends today. State's attorney piece has alleged the defendants shamed, intimidated, and extorted others online. This office will not tolerate those who impersonate law enforcement officers and misuse the public safety infrastructure that exists to protect our citizens. As these charges make it clear, the alleged unauthorized access of a U.S. federal law enforcement system and impersonation of law enforcement officials are serious offenses. And yeah, they were told. I'll scroll my screen down so you can't see that logo, but
yeah, no kidding.
Total D-bags.
Well, it looks like it wasn't just And hey, then, we're going to post. So, it was like threats, like we'll kill your family if you don't just pay.
Oh, yeah,
up.
Like there will be reprisals against you and your family if you do not pay
up. If you don't want anything to happen to your parents, you better give this up.
And then good for, so they, the unnamed company, like a large social media organization or something, they attempted to extort from them, and they went, come at me, bro. I'm not doing it.
Ooh.
And they said, there'll be reprisals. They said, basically screw you.
Bet.
And put them on blast. And said, so someone's trying to extort us, and that's how they got uncovered.
Wow.
By the Department of Justice.
Huh.
And then now they're now and then they got arrested. So see, enjoy prison. 20 years. One of them's getting like up for 20 years, the other's up for 6.
Good.
19 and 22 years old.
Jeez. That's right? Crazy to me. Like, what do you, you have so many better things you could be doing with your life. This is the prime of your life, and this is what you're doing.
How have we devolved so far where like this is something that's common where we just don't have. Listen, I don't mind people making jokes and having fun. We all have to like laugh at our own expenses from time to time. Self-deprecating humor. I'm happy to, if you want to make a joke about me, I'm happy to be the butt of that joke. That's fine. But when you just don't care about your fellow humans out there so much so that you're willing to take what little they have, because most people don't have a lot. And even if they do have a lot, the hard work it took them to get there and the people that that affects, that's just like, come on.
Yeah.
You gotta, here I am standing on a soapbox, I'm preaching now. But I mean, it's just weird to me that we're that far gone. People can be so depraved.
Yeah. These are the kind of people that give like, I mean, cyber security people and hackers in general, like a bad name, because there are ethical hackers out there.
Oh, yeah.
But people like, you know, you hear hacking and you think of stuff like this if you're not super familiar with it. And also, they give Gen Z a bad name. This is the kind of article that somebody in like Gen X or, you know, somebody that's a baby boomer reads that and is like, this is what's wrong with this generation. No, it's just these two dudes that are jerks. Like, it just, I don't know, makes everybody involved look bad.
Well, if you just took this case, yeah, that would be a gross misinterpretation of your generation. I think it's at large. We have seen, honestly, I've been kind of impressed with Gen Z a lot lately, that they are seeing a lot of problems and they want to fix it.
Yeah.
And that's the first step to just acknowledge that, hey, there's a lot of issues that are going on right now. Let's see what we can do to try to make some headway.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that. Not everyone, obviously. Not all of them.
Definitely. No. You can never speak in absolutes.
Yeah. Every crazy. Is that an absolute?
I was just going to say, I kind of broke the rule there.
Yeah. It's fun, isn't it?
You probably shouldn't speak in absolutes, generally speaking, most of the time. Hedging my bets.
Hedging your bets. Always hedge your bets.
Yeah.
Unless you're making a joke. Then you go hard in the paint.
But overall, this is positive news. These guys have been
they've been arrested
and rotten jail.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jail. That's real positive. News. We should change it from behind bars to rotten jail.
Very cynical takes here on Technado.
We're just smoking cigarettes, chain smoking. these bastards.
we'll take a break to watch like a video of a cat or something and get us back on the right track mentally. Watch something positive.
Speaking, is that one of our articles?
A video of a cat?
No. I'll ask you.
Oh, okay.
Did it make it in our articles?
No. I can mention it later, but no.
Yeah. There was an article that almost made it in Technado this week. Yeah. That was about...
It's a good article, positive article.
Well, it was that the AI is going to start watching you, which is not positive. And it's going to sense or detect when
you are
getting kind of like at your breaking point, stress-wise, as far as your job goes.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Oh,
yeah.
is that one?
I thought you were talking about, there was another article that's in Japan. There's an app that uses AI to tell when your cat's in pain.
Oh, no,
because I mentioned cats, I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it.
It was more like mental health.
So we are going to talk about that only because,
spoiler alert, no spoiler yet.
We'll get back to that. We'll get back to it. We will take a break, though.
And continued.
We'll talk about the cat AI app on our break. Yeah. But don't worry, we've got more coming up here on Technado.
Tired of trying to schedule your team's time around in-person learning? Isn't it a bummer to spend thousands of dollars on travel for professional development? What if we said you can save money and time and still provide your team with the best training possible? The answer to your woes is live online training from ACI Learning. With live online training, we provide our top in-person courses in private, online, instructor-led formats. You get to provide professional development in a manner that fits today's expectations. Entertaining, convenient, and effective. Our exam-aligned courses inspire the full potential of your team. Visit virtual instructor-led training at ACI Learning for more info.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us through that break. If you're enjoying this episode and you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment down below. Let us know what you like, what you want to see in the future. Leave a like if you are enjoying the video, and maybe subscribe so you never miss an episode of Technado.
Don't cost you nothing. Future.
Don't cost you nothing. You can
free.
What is it? Smash that like, hit the bell, hit or whatever. I'll memorize that at some point.
I can subscribe, hit the notification bell.
I'll be like a typical YouTuber. What is up, you guys?
Give us a big thumbs up.
Yeah. Click down below.
Yeah.
So we got a couple other articles we want to get through here before we let you go for the day. This first one, I just thought there's been a lot of Microsoft stuff in the news this week about them being in court, but this was more fun to me. So a security bug allows anyone to spoof Microsoft employee emails. Now, the story here, I think, is that the person that figured out that they could do this, they were able to spoof and literally make it look like it was coming from security@microsoft.com. It looks like it is coming from that address. They shared this with Microsoft. They said, hey, I found this vulnerability that lets me send a message this way. Microsoft said, we can't reproduce it. He sent a video. He or she sent a video with a full exploitation, full POC. We can't reproduce it. She's like, well, what do you want me to do? He gave up. He was like, I tried telling you. I explained it to you. I sent you a video. And Microsoft just said, we couldn't reproduce it, didn't give any details, and supposedly closed the report then. They were like, we're not going to look into this. Then this guy tweeted about it. It blew up. And they quietly reopened the report. They were like, well, maybe we'll take a look at this. So I thought that was interesting that they, just because they were like, I can't, like, he's clearly proving to you that he can do this. Would you not at least say, thanks, we'll look into it? Like,
unfortunately, this is actually more common than you would think.
Really?
And not just from Microsoft.
That companies just ignore it?
They just go, eh. Huh. Or they don't even say anything. They just quietly goes to the dustbin of whoever's inbox. Hmm. And they never reply. They never get anything. A lot of researchers will, you know, wait a month, 2 months, maybe even 3 months, reach out again. Hey, I haven't heard anything. I can still do this. I feel like this is a problem because if I'm spoofing emails and they legit look like they're coming from something like Microsoft, then that's going to go a long way for my social engineering and phishing campaigns to be able to send these emails to people, have the air of legitimacy to them to think, oh, this is Microsoft security team. I obviously need to click this link or download this file or install this patch.
Because that's one of the first things that if you think that something might be an illegitimate email, one of the first things you look at usually is who's this from? Who sent it, right? I mean, yes, you're looking for grammatical errors and, oh, there's a weird logo or whatever. Sure. But if it's coming from jerrysmith@yahoo.com, then it's obviously.
And it's legit coming from.
It says security at Microsoft.
It looks legit. Yeah. Like, right. There's. It's very difficult for you to go, oh, okay, that's not.
Yeah.
Everything about it has the air of authenticity. That's a big deal and for someone who is trying to engage in these malicious activities. So for Microsoft, again, well, we kind of mentioned this. Microsoft is just like, we don't have issues here. Mm-hmm. That doesn't occur.
Hey, no mind.
We have situations.
Right. Yeah. We have events.
And yes. And this event does not garner our attention.
Like it's a dinner party.
Yeah.
We have events. Yeah. Not issues. Not
we don't say that. We don't use those words here.
We don't use the vulnerability
That's
word
right.
here in this office.
The Ministry of Truth has to say.
You're the George Orwell here. Yeah,
I know. Constantly. You're channeling old Orwell.
This is like the second or third week in a row that we've referenced that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a common theme here.
It will. Maybe, I've got to get me some shirts or something.
I said I wanted to bring back tinfoil hat. Maybe the real tinfoil hat.
Should be Orwell.
Is the friends we made along the way.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of shirts, I want to give a shout out to Jacob Swinsinski for the cool shirt, Swiss Security. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Just glad having you on All Things Cyber.
I almost wore that today, and I'm really glad that I didn't.
We could have been twinsies. Because people would have thought this was a Swiss Security podcast.
It was sponsored by.
It's a good thing you did. Yeah. You'll wear it next week.
Next week. We'll trade off. I think our director would have said something. Our director said last week that we looked like we were wearing shirts that we would mow the lawn in. He was just teasing us. He was giving us a hard time.
I mean, he wasn't wrong.
We were wearing some pretty big comfy shirts, as we are now. We're still in our lawn mowing attire. But that would have been his comment this week, is that we're Team Swiss Security with our matching shirts.
That's right.
So as far as this goes, only works when sending the email to Outlook accounts. But that's still a pool of about 400 million users all over the world estimated. So that's still a pretty big pool that you could target with this. Yeah. This guy didn't divulge any technical details. So he's coming out.
He just is proving to the world this is a problem.
Look what happened. Yeah.
And then apparently garnered enough fanfare that it got the attention of Microsoft. And all of a sudden,
sometimes that's
they're
what it
all
takes.
About this thing. Like, oh, well, I guess we should take a look.
But they're keeping the technical stuff under wraps so people don't start taking advantage of this. So they're being responsible about it. But maybe Microsoft will come out and say something about this in the future. Probably not, though.
Yeah.
Probably not. I'm not holding out hope.
Quietly release a patch.
Yeah, quietly. But it's not a bug. It's a feature.
That's right.
So it's a fun little feature. Well, speaking of bugs and fixing things, VMware fixed RCE and privilege escalation bugs in vCenter server. This seems like a pretty big deal. You said earlier, anytime you see remote code execution, it's like, uh-oh. So maybe you can fill me in on this.
Yeah, well, this is one of our, like, hey, cool articles. Yeah. This is a good thing, mm-hmm. whereas it took the heavy hand of the internet to come along and get Microsoft a swift kick in the butt to do something about their, you know, stuff that they got going on. It looks like vCenter, or VMware, who creates vCenter, they had a few criticals going on, a couple of 9.8s happening there, and they have finally, like, reached in the world and made those fixes available. So if you're running vCenter, make sure that you get those. And let's just see here. It says the vCenter server contains multiple local privilege escalation vulnerabilities due to a misconfiguration of sudo. Reads the advisory, an authenticated local user with a non-administrative privileges may exploit these issues to elevate privileges to root on vCenter server appliances. So obviously this is kind of a post-exploitation after initial access is gained. Now we're looking to elevate our privileges. I always love sudo jokes. Sudo jokes are always funny. I found one of my favorites, which is this one right here. Sudo su. So su is switch user.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, your user is not allowed to sudo. So if you do sudo su and you have sudo capabilities, it will give you root.
Oh, okay.
Which is the administrative account, right? So he said, no problem. Sudo Jane. Hi, Jane. Sudo su. Because Jane had the ability, right? So the whole joke here is sudo is hard.
Yeah.
Doing sudo well is difficult. It's really easy to make mistakes with sudo when you're trying to give and grant permission and access to things. So, you know, it looks like it caught old vSphere in the behind. So not that it was this specific one, but there was...
What?
It was through the sudo vector.
Yeah.
Again, I was like bringing those things up. So a lot of fun there. I'm glad they got it fixed.
The first time I heard the word sudo was like right after I first started working here.
Yeah.
And I was doing a Linux course with Don. And it was like LPIC 2 part 2. And I barely knew what Linux was when
you were,
I started working here.
Completely out
so
of
it's
your
like,
depth.
Hey, just step in. Here's some questions you can ask and go for. And now I can like follow along and ask my own questions.
Sudo.
But he was, he's like, yeah. Oh, so, you know, we'll just do sudo super user. And I'm sitting there like, right, sudo. Yeah, I understand.
Love using that.
Love sudo. So just for the users that don't know, what is that? So anyway, now it's nice that I can kind of follow along a little bit. But you're right. There were several or a couple bugs here that were severe. 9.8, 9.8, 7.8. So nothing to play around with, but there's fixes for all of them. And like you said, that's good news.
Good news.
This is a thumbs up for
security
us.
Security good.
Yeah. Hashtag security good. Yeah, much security. Right. Much wow. Sponsored by Dogecoin.
Yeah.
Well, and continuing the theme with patching stuff, Apple has patched a Vision Pro vulnerability used in possibly the first ever spatial computing hack. I just thought this was kind of neat because, I mean, first of all, it's great that they patched it. I mean, good for them. But also just the fact that this is the first of its kind, basically, in that this particular flaw was specific to the Vision OS. There were other flaws that have been patched that have affected Vision OS, but they also affected Mac OS or iOS or whatever. This is the first one specific to Vision OS, so... making history, I guess. But also...
Yes, they absolutely are making history.
This was... they updated Vision OS, operating system powering its Vision Pro virtual reality headset, if you don't know what that is, including...
How much does that thing cost? I'll look up the
question.
Price. You keep going.
That
tell us more
really
about
good.
It.
Yeah, I actually don't
I'll
know.
I'll look it up.
But Christian says $3,500 is his guess.
All right, let's see here.
And Christian would know,
Apple
honestly.
Vision Pro.
I don't doubt him. But these were...
Tell us more.
These vulnerabilities can lead to arbitrary code execution, information disclosure, privilege escalation, and denial of service. So nothing to play around with. This isn't just like, oh, there was a little glitch and the view in your headset was bad. Like, this is serious stuff. So the fact that this was used in the, according to this cybersecurity researcher that reported the vulnerability, this is a Vision Pro specific vulnerability. He believes it is the first ever spatial computing hack. When I was talking to Christian about this earlier this week, he was like, I could see that going in a almost tinfoil hat direction. I wonder what the why would you want to hack a Vision Pro? What would be the point in, what are some of the implications, I guess, of that?
Good question. I don't have Vision Pro. I don't really, I'm not really
like hacking a VR
enamored
headset.
With AR.
I mean, other than just to use it like.
Well, maybe it's giving you like wrong information if I'm able to hack it. So it did have arbitrary code execution, right?
That was
like,
one of the things. Yeah.
So if I feed it shit code. And it does whatever I tell it to do. Maybe it tells you, hey, take the next right turn, which is off an overpass, and now you're dead. You know, I don't know.
Interesting.
Who knows what they could do with that? The sky's the limit if you've got code execution. By the way, with tax, tags, and title, after it's all said and done, you're looking at around $4,000.
Jeez.
Yeah.
For just the headset?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's the big dog. Best you're getting away with is probably around $3,600 to $3,800.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that is crazy.
There's no...
it comes in space gray.
Does it come in rose gold?
Yeah, rose gold.
Thank God.
They come over with rose gold. I'm going to set fire to these white pieces of crap and get me the rose gold ones.
But don't buy this set yet, because you never know. Yeah. They might come out with a new one, and then half the things that the new one can do.
I can see people trying to flex with the rose gold. Oh, you have those dog turd white ones?
Yeah.
Not rose gold.
But with the Vision Pro, you don't even get to, even if you had a rose gold Vision Pro, you wouldn't get to enjoy it because your eyes are in it the whole time. You don't get to enjoy the fact that it's
weird
rose gold.
Weird projection of eyes on the other side. They are freaky.
Yeah, they are weird. They give you that kind of, I don't know. VR headsets give me a headache, so I just don't understand the appeal. But clearly I'm not the audience then. No. So anyway, just thought this was kind of neat that it was the first ever vulnerability specific to Vision OS and used in the first ever spatial computing hack. Mm. Making history
there.
And it's been patched, so that's always good news. But we're not done with our theme of patches here. We've got one more here.
This side of the Technado is all patches, yeah, right?
Patchy. Yeah. Patchy the Pirate
that's
on
right.
this side of Technado. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So Asus has patched critical authentication bypass flaw in multiple router models. It is Asus, right? That's how you pronounce
Asus,
it?
Asus, yeah.
Asus, okay. They ship software updates to address a critical security flaw that could be exploited to
I'm
bypass.
I'm thinking of other possible... pronunciation.
I'm sure you are. This is like make Orwell fiction, obviously.
I am a child, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I say a bunch of dumb crap here. I know that.
That's fine.
Just making jokes and trying to have fun.
We welcome it.
Yeah.
It's part of the show. This was a pretty critical.
Ask us.
Thank you for spelling it out for me.
I could help
myself.
I couldn't have
gotten there on my own. I couldn't have just puzzled
that
out.
I have to make it obvious.
You're like a little kid. Like
it's like a
chuckling over there.
Problem in my brain that tells me, just say it. Just say it out loud.
What? Kill who? Well, this vulnerability had a CVSS score of 9.8 out of a maximum of 10. So
that seems high.
This is a, I was going to say big spender, but that doesn't make
a big spender.
This is a heavy hitter, I guess, is the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
But it's been patched. So again, good news.
That is good news. Really interesting. But was this one that had kind of multiple flaws that kind of led to a problem, right? So it says,
I think so.
It says earlier this January, Asus patched another critical vulnerability tractor. So that was a 9.8 that could permit unauthenticated remote attacker to upload arbitrary files and system commands on the device using effective routers. So obviously, our connection to the internet is something that we need to be. And I like to bring these kind of articles up for this very reason. I love stopping my sentence midway to start a new sentence because
I love
thoughts, just. Go crazy.
Runaway train.
Inside of my head. Yes. You have routers. They are basically a computer of a type. They are part of your security surface, right? Your attack surface. How many of you out there, and we've said this before many times, if you're a constant follower of us here in Technado, how many times have we said it? Are you updating your firmware? Are you looking for security issues? Are you changing defaults? This is a legitimate way for people to gain access into your network. So if you're not using proper security on it, as well as your laptops and mobile devices and so on that are connected to it, you're opening yourself up. You're only as strong as your weakest link. So don't let this be that. You obviously, if you've got Asus router within these different versions, you should be on the lookout for that. Just make a reminder every once a quarter, even.
Yeah.
Just every 3 months, every four, right? 3 months. Yeah. Every 3 months, you go in and you go, hey, is there any updates? Should I change my password to my Wi-Fi? Don't turn off it. Remote administration. Don't turn that on. Don't turn that on. Stop. No. I know it's nice to be sitting at, you know, PF Chang's and pull out your phone and go, well, I obviously need to make a configuration change to my router at home. No. Or your small business or whatever the case is. Just make that unavailable. Do those proper security things on these devices as well, because they do have vulnerabilities. And you'd hate for that to be the way that somebody gains access to your systems. Just saying.
It's so funny to me that P.F. Chang's is the restaurant you pulled out. Like, I love you're just sitting at P.F. Chang's working on some stuff. And like, to me, it would be like, oh, I'm at Panera Bread working on something and I want to do it from there. P.F. Chang's, though, if I'm at P.F. Chang's, I'm locked in. I'm not focused on anything else.
I am in the moment.
I don't go to P.F. Chang's to mess around. Yeah. Like, I'm spending some money if I'm going to P.F. Chang's.
It's true.
And I'm going to focus and enjoy every second. But to each his own.
Yeah, you know? For two people at P.F. Chang's, you're spending close to a bill.
Yeah. You could buy a small horse for that amount. Probably. I don't know. You said P.F. Chang's. I thought that was random.
You made me go to the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Is like,
that's the one with George Clooney, right?
Yeah, George Clooney. I haven't seen it. And they're at the one guy's cousin's house after they escape from prison.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, this is a fine meal. And he goes, oh, is it? I was afraid that horse had turned. I shot it last week or what? He's like, oh. They called him like a greasy horse something or other. It was, okay. That movie is hysterical.
It's probably good you can't remember the rest of that sentence.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Christian would have to cut it out.
Dude, that movie is worth the watch.
I've got a long list of movies now.
It's funny to me, the Coen brothers are very hit or miss. They're either just, it's an amazing flick, or it's very ho-hum to me.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll have to add that to the list then. I say that, I'm never going to get through the list. I'm going to die before that list is over. You know, there's just too much to watch. We've got one more article we wanted to get into, and I am so excited to hear Daniel's take. I love like being like, oh, look at this, and having it be something that he's like, this is what's wrong with the world, because it's so fun.
Oh, this was the article.
This is the article.
It was the last article on the list.
The situation, I did that on purpose.
Yeah, okay.
The situation proposed here. Tough day at the office? Well, how about a mandatory photo montage to calm you down, ordered by an AI that's monitoring how close you get to breaking point? This sounds theoretical, right? This sounds like, oh, what if? But this is being implemented. There's a company that's doing this right now. I believe it is First Horizon Bank. It says it's a way to keep all of its call center agents relaxed over long shifts of dealing with the public. I think call center agent and relaxed don't go in the same sentence. If you're working at a call center, I'm sorry, but that's just not the cards for you, because it's a stressful job. So they're hoping that they can deal with burnout in this way. Now, it sounds kind of weird, right? The way that this works is say I'm working at a call center. I get to pick ahead of time photos, whether it's photos of my family, my pets, whatever, and music that I like. And then if I'm working at the call center and their AI detects that you seem like you're getting a little bit stressed, you're getting a little frustrated with the public.
You're a little frazzled.
We're gonna cut your system here. We're gonna keep your eyes off work for a second, and we will play this relaxing slideshow of these photos along with inspirational quotes that get thrown in there just for some pizzazz, some little red pepper flakes on the pizza, and this music that you've chosen as a soundtrack in the background. And then after we feel like you've calmed down enough, you can go back to work. And apparently it's working. They've detected that their burnout levels have decreased. There are some employees, supposedly, that are even saying they prefer this built-in mandatory break to just them taking a break and going and walking around. They prefer this. This is better. Personally, I call BS. I don't buy it.
Listen, I'm pretty sure I saw a documentary on this actual thing, because I'm reading this article, right? It says, you're stressed out at work, which means naturally you want to throw a stapler off the roof and tell your boss exactly what you think of them.
Yeah, that was kind
of
weird.
Then you see a common montage of your family, vacation photos, and an inspirational picture of a cat hanging on a washing line set to calming music. And the rage quietly fades away. Yes, everything is fine again. Back to generating value for the shareholders. All is well. And I'm wondering, do you have to supply your own clips that keep your eyeballs open with Visine drops, right, as they play Beethoven. Right? Is that how? Because obviously this does work.
Clearly, it's been proven.
Do you have to supply your own medicine that makes you violently ill?
Yeah.
Whenever you get raged up inside.
You get violently ill at the sight of your family now.
This is a clockwork AI, right? That's what we're talking about here?
It does, there's some similarities there.
This is exactly what I thought of. I'm like, they are basically trying to cure you of rage.
It's kind of
in a way that we've seen, at least in an artistic way.
It's like, just because we can,
doesn't mean we should. Yeah.
I feel like
Dr.
question,
Ian Malcolm.
They failed to ask that question at this point. And so their argument was that, hey, different people break at different points. Well, so this helps to.
The question becomes is obviously they are manipulating you emotionally.
Right.
Right. This is emotional manipulation at its base. Whether or not, to me, obviously, we're not assigning any moral or ethical value on that at that point. Let's just break it down to that this is what that is. They are manipulating your emotions. Through detection, they are detecting that your emotional state is not one that is conducive to creating value for them,
mm-hmm.
right? You're going to be less efficient, less effective at your job because your stress levels are going up. Okay. And now we are going to induce a better state of emotion for you by doing X, Y, or Z. This feels like a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Right? Where, hey, you know, what are the struggle sessions, right? That the communists used to make our captured AI, used to do. So,
this is, okay.
Right. So they would say, you know, you just say, you don't have to believe it. Just say America is bad and we'll give you some food.
Yeah. And then right? over time,
you get conditioned to, I get food when I say America bad. So America must be bad.
Yeah.
So if I just go, well, you know, they're helping me, that it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And the next iteration, it's a little bit different. With a bad taste in my mouth.
It gives you a weird gut feeling.
I've tasted this before and it wasn't good. Yeah. You're trying to sneak it. You know how you can try to give your dog its medicine? You wrap it, like it in butter or peanut butter or something, right? So it just slides down the old gullet.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Even though it would seem like, well, what do you talk? It says that customer satisfaction has increased, employee productivity has increased. We even have agents that are saying, this is great. We love this. It works better for us. Okay, there's a feeling.
Well, I mean,
I have a feeling this is not good.
Here's the thing. Why am I getting enraged to begin with? Oh, let's not address the cause. Let's fix the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do in today's society, right? We go, oh, someone's getting enraged. Make them not enraged. By how? We give them medicine that basically keeps them from being able to feel rage.
Yeah.
Hmm. Or, hear me out, fix the system that's causing the negative feelings. Make it a better system, not just address the symptom. Fix the cause. Fix the root problem.
Yeah.
Make it a system in which people are. So I worked on a help desk, right? So
right.
I know the rage that comes from trying to help people because of the abstraction between you and them. And the thing that really made me good at my job, and I was, because people would get my direct line. They just like, they would call the center and they would say, can you transfer me to Daniel? Because I stopped seeing them as the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped seeing the people that were calling in as like a disruption to my day and idiot users doing dumb things and going, hey, they don't know what's going on here. They don't understand complex systems in the computing world. I do. That's why they're calling me. That's why I have a job,
mm-hmm.
because I do understand those things. I'm on their side. I'm advocating for them. And then when they would call me, I would go, hey, don't worry. We're going to get you fixed up. I know it's probably a really weird thing and we're going to have to go down some rabbit trails, but stick with me. We'll hang in there. I'm not going to get frustrated with you because you are not the issue.
Yeah.
Right. It's either your lack of knowledge on the problem or whatever. And I'm going to teach you and we're going to get this fixed. And they felt like I was their companion in this. I was not against them. I was for them.
Yeah.
And I fixed all the problems. I never had a single issue that went unsolved.
And that's the kind of thing that would probably have the same result as this program does, that you see increased customer satisfaction. Because if I get a call center agent like that, I'm going to be like, that was a great experience. As opposed to somebody that's like, well, what did you do wrong?
Well, you see,
why are you calling
me? Here's what happens in a lot of call centers. You're spending too much time on the phone with that user. Get them off the phone so that you can get another user on the phone and solve their problem.
We need turnover to be faster.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. They want turnover to be fast. They don't want you spending too much time with people. So you get this outside pressure to get them off the phone.
Yeah.
And get them, quote unquote, satisfied.
And then you come across as like short with them and irritated because you have this.
You got someone in your ear going too long, too long, too long.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They've built a system that absolutely causes you stress.
Yeah.
And now you see your end user as an adversary. Instead of someone with a problem that you're here to help.
Yeah.
Imagine if, and maybe it probably is, I'm not a doctor, I don't know, but I feel like that might be the case. If your doctor was like, I just want to get you in and out.
Yeah, here's a pill.
Yeah, just take a pill. But I still have type 2 diabetes, doctor. Yeah, but you take Jombifty or whatever the weird names they give these pills nowadays.
This is the quickest way to quell that issue for
right. me. Boom, yeah. Pill. I made money. Your type 2 diabetes is taken care of. We're all happy. How about we actually address what's causing my type 2 diabetes and work with a plan and you come alongside me as an advocate to help me?
Yeah.
That seems like a better idea.
My mom worked as a support representative for QVC for a little bit. She did it remotely. And so she would have to answer calls from people that were like, hey, I have a problem with my order. Yeah. And my mom was a pretty personable woman. Like, she's social and whatever. So she would, and it was a lot of times older folks that were calling, didn't understand what was going on. They were confused. They were having issues. And she would, you know, be like, hey, how are you? That's awful. Let me fix that for you. Laugh with them, talk with them. And she would get stellar reviews. They loved her. It was great. She got in trouble. They were like, you're taking too long on these calls and you need to pick up the pay. My mom ended up quitting. She ended up quitting because she's like, okay, so either I do a terrible job and the people that are calling me hate me and they don't feel like their issue got resolved. They don't feel like they were listened to, but, oh, I'm meeting the numbers, so I'm doing great. Or I feel like I'm doing my job and I'm doing a good job and I feel good about doing this and you're telling me that I'm doing the wrong thing. Not worth it. So she ended up quitting. And it's unfortunate that it has to be like that. I know they got numbers, they got to meet, and there's a lot of people calling, but it just sucks.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. You handle these problems. Someone can be very abstract and esoteric and you're like, what the hell is going on here? And that can be frustrating. But if you're the right kind of person, if you see your job as like, oh, I'm challenge accepted, right? Yeah, I'm probably gonna have a few, like, I dig into that kind of stuff. I get really cynical. I'm like, stupid thing.
It'd be easy to get cynical.
That's kind of how I process through that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I always say I'll rush a machine gun nest as long as I can bitch my way and complain my way. As I do
let me complain a little.
If you let me complain the whole time and let me vent that frustration, I can get anything done just about.
That's fair.
Right? This is my process.
Yeah. Listen, this is the person writing this article was like, I don't care if this works. I don't want any part of it. Nope. I prefer to handle my rage the old-fashioned way. I will bottle it up until I can make an expensive purchase to make me feel better.
I'm going to quote Steve Harvey, where when I have emotional issues, mm-hmm. I just keep it deep down inside until it manifests as a physical issue. Then I go see a real doctor.
Fair enough.
Right, yeah.
I'm a little lost, but fair enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I just thought that was something that would probably prompt some interesting opinions on that. I'm curious to know what y'all think about this. If this is something that, if you worked for a company and they implemented this, would you be on board? Would you be a little skeptical? How are you feeling?
If you were someone calling someone that was having, like if you were on the other end of the phone, you had an issue with someone. They are saying that those customers are more satisfied, right?
Yeah.
That the data is suggesting that they're more satisfactorily.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that on the other end. That's good. But maybe we can, I think that we can reach the same
gotta be another way
with a different method.
There's got to be another way.
Yeah.
There was something else. I didn't throw it in here because it's still theoretical. It's not like implemented somewhere yet. Yeah. But I think in Japan, maybe it was like a Japanese company that was experimenting with this.
Yeah.
Using AI to change the customer's voice. So when you're on the phone with a customer and they're getting testy and they're getting angry at you and
it
starting to yell,
it changes their voice
to make them. So it's still what they're saying, but it makes it like, instead of saying, you don't know what you're talking about, it's like, you don't know what you're talking about. And
that sounds even more condescending.
Yeah. Like, it just brings it down. And I don't know that I'm still not on board with that, but that was more conceptual. So I didn't throw it
in. My pappy used to say, it ain't what you say, it's how you say it, son.
There you go. Yeah. It's people won't remember what you said. Don't remember how you made them feel.
That's right.
And if you condescend to me, I'm going to be upset. So this might actually make
it worse. I'm going to start a couch fire and flip a table.
You better get out of here.
Yeah. She's seen it. It's not pretty.
I have. Well, I think that's going to do it for our stories this week. There wasn't a ton of breaking news. But I feel like there was some interesting stuff that popped up
this week.
So we'll try to get more of that in there. And like I said before, let us know what you liked and what you want to see more of. And we do actually love to see opinions on this stuff.
Absolutely.
It's fun for us to go back and read, what did this person think?
Just be kind. I can take a playful ribbing, but dang. Yeah. don't be mean, to quote Buckaroo Banzai. Don't be mean.
Yeah, you don't have to give me a new insecurity.
New insecurity unlocked.
Right, yeah. It'll be like a weird comment. Does anybody notice? The one that said we were it was funny. I laughed.
Oh, yeah.
But
that
it was
we were Canadians.
Snow White Canadians. I'm like, you're not wrong. And that's not new. I know that. But
now.
I'm like, I mean, I guess. But it could be a lot worse. I don't know. I think I look fine.
That's right.
So maybe leave out the ad hominem stuff. But
I mean, you kind of fade into the snow. But
I do. It's a good thing I live in Florida.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't have that problem.
No,
I don't have to worry
not.
About it. Well, we hope that you enjoyed this episode. We hope that you'll come back and join us next week for another episode every Thursday. We do pre-record these, so let us know if we missed anything.
That's right.
And, it's hard for us to stay super, super up to date with
We record on Wednesdays, release on Thursdays.
We have to, otherwise we wouldn't be able to get it done. But hope you enjoyed regardless, and we will see you back here in Studio 2 next week for a new Technado.
Thanks for watching. If you enjoyed today's show, consider subscribing so you'll never miss a new episode.